And good evening. Are we on back there? Yes, we are. Glad I wasn't on earlier when everybody was singing. You would not want to hear my voice. That's why I play the violin, because I can do that a little bit better than I can sing. And I am glad for our talent that we have in this church to bring solos and duets and so on. You are well blessed. We are well blessed to have that. Not every church can have that. And Brother Pease asked me to preach. He was going to be gone. And as a Wednesday night, generally, I look around and you don't see any visitors. You see people who come faithfully, who probably are Christians, probably know the Lord as their Savior. And so you kind of want to, I want to direct the message in that direction to save people. If you are a missionary like myself and go to the mission field, how do you pick a subject to preach on? I set a goal very simply a long time ago. If you were in my shoes and went with me Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and well as Monday night Bible study, Friday night to the hospital or wherever else I may go, young people's, go through the New Testament, not every chapter, but at least the life of Christ out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and at least something out of every book of the New Testament. Maybe not every verse, but I didn't get hung up on any particular doctrine, but I tried to cover as much as I could, and even into the Old Testament, much as the Bible stories as I could also in that. That was my goal. I also stated it this way. If you feel uncomfortable because I'm preaching on a particular subject, it's because it's there as I'm going through. I didn't particularly know anything in advance to say I'm going to preach on a particular person's sin. I remember hearing the testimony of a man who said he couldn't believe it. His wife talked to him and talked to him about going to church, and he finally went, and he said he sat down and he said, and that preacher preached every sin I've ever done, made me feel so uncomfortable. She must have given him a list that he was going down, and the whole message was directed towards me, the visitor. He was in a church of 10,000 people. So sometimes God just directs, and so if it fits, wear it. If it doesn't, just say amen, and we keep on going. But when I was growing up, I was in a church, Southern Baptist Church. We had a program called Ambassadors for Christ. I've never forgotten it. There's a memory verse that I'm going to cover tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. And I'm still reminded of it from time to time. One of the things that happened when I went to the United States Coast Guard Academy was that they took all of us, well, I wasn't a farm boy. I was in a city of about 50,000 people, but I didn't go to any formal things that I can remember. I didn't go where there was a lot of politics involved. I didn't go where you had to know how to dot your I's and whatever, all of that. And they had to teach that to all of us. We had to go to all of these special functions. And I can just ask in advance, how many of you have ever been to a formal enough occasion where there's a receiving line that you have to go through? Okay. Yeah, they announce your name and you come through and you shake everybody's hands. And then you sit down at this table and there's three spoons and four forks and a couple of knives and how many glasses. And you know, you got to sort all of that out. So tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to sort out what this verse is talking about. It says in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." I want to kind of look at the word ambassador. I want to look at the two words at the very beginning, "now then." If you were to get a phone call from the President of the United States and he was to say, "You are now an ambassador to such and such a country," what would that do to your heartbeat, you think? I mean, have you had the kind of training that it would take to be an ambassador of the United States of America? There's a lot of things that we have in America that other countries do not have, and a lot of countries look up to us to be the leaders of what's going on. And so if you're to be an ambassador, you have to realize I represent the United States of America. And with that, everything I do is noticed. When we were in St. Vincent, I told a Peace Corps guy one time how to come to my house. And I said, it's very simple. And he came, he said it worked. He got on public transportation, and there that's about a van where they put in extra seats, crammed them all together and put about 22 people in one van. And that's public transportation. So he arrived at my house. He said it worked. He said, I got into Barley. 6,000 to 8,000 people live there. And he asked, where do the two white people live? And everybody knew. And they could direct to our house. So you begin to realize when that kind of thing is going on that everybody is watching you. And guess what? If you're an ambassador of the United States, people are watching you. They notice what you do, what you say, where you go, who you're with. And we are ambassadors for something a lot larger than America, a lot more powerful than the United States. And we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And sometimes it's kind of scary when you think, how much training have I really had? And a lot of it is in-house training. This verse, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. I want you all to say it together with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I didn't hear you. Maybe we should get you got more microphones back there? Again, 1, 2, 3. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Okay, now that's sounding a little bit better, but is it soaking in? We'll try it again. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. It doesn't say after you've got your training. It doesn't say after you've gone to a particular school, after you've got introduction to this and to that. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. Do you realize just what it means to be an ambassador? You're going to go to official functions. You would have to be on time. You want to look sharp, dress sharp. You want to have good manners. You want to represent your country very well, and we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You want to dress right. Dress right. How then are we ambassadors for Christ? Did you know that the world looks at you, watches you? And if you dress like the world, careful there. Start treading on some toes. But we're ambassadors for Christ. And if you were to be in an official position to an official function, I guarantee you, you dress. I remember down in Jamaica, we had to go to this thing. And I'm not sure that the prime minister was there, though I suspect he could have been. In Nassau, I was in the room with their prime minister, their president. So when you go to functions like that, you want to really look nice. And I remember they told us, dress wise. Now, for military guys, that's white shoes, white socks, white pants, white shirt, and a white hat. And this is going to be an official function. And they got us there, and you go through this receiving line, and you're going to be there doing whatever they want you to do. And you're representing the United States of America in a foreign country. And I've been there, and I've done that. But you know what? We represent something still larger and bigger and better than America. We are ambassadors for Christ. What does your dress look like? And excuse me, women, I'm using the term dress not to mean the kind of dress you're wearing, but what do we wear when we go out into public? It does make a difference. We don't preach sometimes on standards very much, but this is one time you need to mention it. Because I remember being a guy from the Midwest and I had to wear the uniform of the day. I was required to wear it. And I would be inspected every morning before I would go to school, before I go to classes, before I do anything. I mean, they'd line us up and are you prepared for the day? Are you dressed properly? And with that, what are we wearing? There's other things. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How do we dress that would suit him? There is a lot that the Bible has to say about modesty. There is a lot the Bible has to say about good manners and loving neighbors. If you go to church, who are you coming here to meet? I remember my pastor in Hickory asking me one time, he said, "Brother Barry, why do you go to church?" I didn't even think hard about it. I said, "Well, I go to meet with the Lord." He says, "You're out of it." I said, "What?" He said, "They've done survey work. And guess what? Most people say they go to church to be with their friends." I said, "Really? I guess I'm out of it." But that ought to be the reason you come. You don't come because your friends are here or because they're not here. You come because you want to be meeting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that ought to get us to where we're, you know, get us in the mood of what we're doing. So we come to an informal meeting. What are we wearing? What are we wearing? And then we need to learn to talk right. We had a lot of guys that had that Midwestern accent, that Southern accent, and all of that. We had to do away with some of that. And you had to learn to talk right. As a Christian, do you talk right? What's in your vocabulary? OMG is so common. But do you realize that's taking the name of the Lord in vain? And other people that have been around just use the name of the Lord in vain. No, no. We are ambassadors for Christ. And unfortunately, I see a lot of people or hear a lot of people that don't are not careful at all of what they say. When you represent the God of heaven, you can realize that there are people who will not like you just because you're a Christian. And by the way, in today's world, if you're watching the news at all, you begin to see, if you haven't noticed, Christianity is coming under attack. And doing what's right and deciding this is what God has said is going to be something that is current. There is only two sexes, male and female. I don't care what the world says, but that's it. And scientifically, by the way, that's also correct. They want to lie about what they are and who they are. I don't have to lie to back them up. At least I don't think I should. I'm going to meet all kinds of people as an ambassador. When I went to foreign mission fields or when I went to other places in the Coast Guard, we would meet the poor, we would meet the rich, we'd meet people on the street, and they would know by the uniform that we wore, we're from America. And if you are in ambassador for Christ, people ought to know that you represent a holy God. So another question then would be, how well are you prepared? Question, have you read your manual? You know, when I first went into the academy, they gave us this manual about that thick, and it told you not just what you wore, but what you didn't wear. We had to actually fold our clothes a certain way. We had to stencil every item of clothing, and you folded it so the name would be on top so they could come in and pull the drawers open and inspect all of it and know that you folded it correctly and there it is and it's in order. And you're going, okay. So there's this manual and what you could and what you could not do. I do know. In fact, I served with him in the service later, and he told me later, because I asked him, why all the demerits? This guy, every time I'd go home for Christmas, he had to stay at the academy, and he had to march so many hours, and his name kept coming up. He just about got thrown out several times, he said. But he sat down with that book and said with his buddy, how many rules can we break and get away with it? And that's what their goal was, and they said, we broke most of them. But listen, as a Christian, we should say, what's the rule book? And we ought to say, how much can I come in obedience to Christ? He wants me to live this way. This is what he wants me to do. It's not my choice. It's his choice of how I live. Have you ever read the entire manual? I think when Brother Scott Pauley was here, that was a good thing to bring out. I have met older people than me even who have said, I've never read all the way through the Bible. And Brother Pauley mentioned the fact that it takes 70 hours if your normal reading speed to read through. And I urge you to do so if you've not done so, because it will be very embarrassing someday. Let me tell you when it's going to be embarrassing. When you're walking down that golden street, when you've walked out and you're gone, you're going to meet a guy named Jude, and you're going to tell him, what? I didn't have time to read all 25 verses of your book. You're going to meet another guy, Obadiah. I didn't have time to read all 21 verses of your book. No, you need to read the manual. And as Brother Paulie said, it takes 70 hours. And I asked him afterward, I said, do you know the lawyer Gibbs? Gibbs, you know who I mean? He did a challenge one time. And so I took it to my church in St. Vincent. I said, here's the challenge. You who have never done it, and you maybe who have done it, read all the way through the Bible this year. I'm going to read through it this month. And that's the challenge. And I had people come to me and say, Brother Barry, you got all day. I mean, you can read and read and read. We have to work, you know. We can't do that. I said, all right. So I went back and I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm only going to read before 7 o'clock in the morning or after 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I may study during those other times, but for my reading schedule to read through the Bible in 1 month, that's my goal, to do it after 5. A lot of my reading was after 8 o'clock, and I finished with 3 days to spare. It can be done, 1 month. And as Brother Paul had noted, and we were talking about it, yes, and you cannot do that without everything you see and everything you hear, Bible verses come to mind. You realize that, you know, it's all connected here. And there's times when you be reading something and you suddenly connect, well, this is connected to that. There are certain verses that just suddenly make sense more because you've read through quicker. So I urge you to read the manual if you haven't. And if you have, maybe a good idea to read it again, because that's going to tell you how you're expected to live and to do your job. How important is your job as an ambassador? Did you ever think of it this way? You could be a neighbor to somebody, and if you never talk to them, never witness to them, and they die and end up in hell, what are you going to say? We need to be aware of the fact that we are the ones who are the ambassadors. It says, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Would Jesus Christ do what we do? Would he say what we say? And if the answer is no, he wouldn't, then something needs to change, okay? We are ambassadors for Christ. We pray you in Christ said, be reconciled to God. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't do drugs. That's normal for Christians, right? Well, I thought so. But I'm finding out, no, it's not. There are people who still smoke, still drink, still take the Lord's name in vain. Well, maybe it's time for some people to say, Lord, I need to change. I need to change. Watch your language. Love the brethren. I remember hearing the story of Pastor Jim Earls. I don't know if you all know him. He was a black pastor, was up in Chesapeake. But he said when he got saved, he said he was always a problem at work. He was one of these guys that always, you know, had something to say about everything. And when he got saved on a Sunday night, he decided, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to keep it a secret. He said, so he went into work, and he said that worked until about lunchtime, and the boss man called him in. And the boss man had him sit down and said, okay, now tell me what's going on. Jim Rose like, what? The boss man said, yeah, tell me what's going on. He said, you're different. He said, before you're always a problem, before you're always arguing, and today something's different. Tell me what happened. And Jim Earl said, began to tell him about Jesus Christ making a difference in his life. Got saved the night before. As an ambassador for Christ, people should notice that we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How important is it? Well, let's see. I'm just kind of curious. Does anybody know what the penalty is for taking the Lord's name in vain? What? Did I hear it? What? Death. You know, some people think I'm a good person. I've never been taken to court. I've never been in jail. And God's going to accept me because I'm a good person. But did you know taking his name in vain carries with it the death penalty. If you were to steal something that didn't belong to you, belonged to God, do you know what the penalty is? Death. And God said of the children of Israel, this whole nation has robbed me. How? Tithes and offerings. Carries a death penalty if you're not tithing. Telling a lie. Just kind of covering something up. You know what the penalty is? Death. You know what the penalty is for adultery? Death. See, we take those Ten Commandments sometimes so lightly. And I will say this. I've been many times talking to Seventh-day Adventists. And they say, we keep the Ten Commandments. And I always ask them, what are they? I've only found two people so far that could even give me the Ten Commandments. And they can't keep them. Nobody can keep them. They really can't. And it carries a death penalty. It's a pretty serious thing. So now, wait a minute. If you're an ambassador for Christ and you want people to get to heaven, what kind of people do you want to come to your country? I've been told that if you commit a major crime in St. Vincent, you cannot get a green card and come to America. I don't know if you've heard that or not, but that's what they're saying down there. But guess who's coming in our borders now? Makes no difference. But when you're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, people who've committed these kind of crimes that carries the death penalty with it, are they going to make it? Well, if you're just looking at what they've done, the answer is no, they never will qualify. But the idea is that Jesus Christ has paid for those sins. And with that, they can come. They need to realize, though, what those sins really are. When I first got my driver's license, 2 weeks later, I was taking a friend home early in the morning, like 1 o'clock or 2. We were talking. I wasn't paying attention. I turned a corner at a stoplight. I missed the speed limit sign, and the police pulled me over, and I stopped. There's nothing but grass. No housing, no subdivision. I was out in the country as far as I could see. And he said, do you know what the speed limit is? I said, no, I was doing 35. He said, yeah, it's a 25 mile an hour speed limit. And guess what? I got my first ticket. And I had to go to court. I'm a teenager. This is the first time in court. This was kind of scary stuff. And I'm standing before the judge. You broke the law. Sir, I did not intend to. I just missed seeing the sign. I would have not sped if I had known what the speed limit was. But yeah, I broke it, but not intentionally. Yeah, but you still broke it. Okay, so the penalty is $10, okay? Got to pay $10 over there, all right. So I walk over, grab my wallet, knowing I didn't have any money at all in my wallet. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And as I'm walking over, my father, who had brought me to court, said, son, let me pay that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a good idea. And so my father paid it. Now, as far as the law was concerned, I had broken the law. But as far as the law was concerned, my penalty had been paid, and I was free to go. And as an ambassador for Christ, we need to realize over and over again what God has done for us and what He can do for everybody else. People who have done some really, really bad things, God can forgive them. God has paid for their penalty for their sin. But we need to make sure that's in place, because the Bible does say no thieves and robbers will be in heaven. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I generally don't bring my phone to church. And generally, I turn it off, and it is off. If I put it on mute, I make the mistake of leaving it on mute, and so 2 days later, maybe, why did I miss that phone call? And the phone was sitting right there. It's still on mute. So I turn it off, and then I'll say, well, the phone's not even on. So, okay, I got to turn it on. But everybody got a phone? You can pick your phone up. Just let me see your phones. This is part of what I'm going to do. Okay, now, I was going to use names, but I began to realize I just might pick Brother Charles or whoever's names I might pick, Brother Jim's, and say something, somebody over here is going to say, oh, is that what he's been doing? So I'm not using names tonight, all right? But I'm going to make some phone calls, okay? And you're going to listen in, or I'm calling you, one of the two. And you just get to choose which one is for you, all right? Number one. Hey, number one, how you doing today? Oh, okay. You accepted Christ as your Savior, what, 2 days ago? That's great. Now, you know you're an ambassador for Christ. Yes, that's right. Right now, without any training. But have you found out that God has given you power over sin? That's right. You can stop drinking. You can stop smoking. You've now reverenced the name of the Lord. Good. So love the brethren. Watch your language. Be a good ambassador. And we'll see you someday over there. All right? Number two. Good afternoon. Did you know you have an awesome responsibility? People can't get into the kingdom without you talking to them. That's right. All those people that are around you need to be told by you. You've got a contact that the pastor doesn't have. You have relatives that he probably will never meet. And so you are the ambassador that God has put there to serve him there. You need to do that kind of thing. Okay. Well, you keep right on working at it. We'll see you later. Bye. Number three, hello, how are you today? Saved just a little while? Have you read the manual yet? Oh, no, not yet enough time. Well, you keep working at it every day. Read it, study it. And there is a difference between reading and study, because the manual does say inside of it, says study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So it's not just to sit down and read it, but you need to study it. And so I urge you to do that. Where's a good place to study? Well, maybe you'd never make it to a Christian school, but guess what? There's an ambassador meeting every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a Wednesday night, and you can learn from there. Okay? By the way, we're going to send you down to a remote place where people wear scanty clothing, they have identifying tattoos, they have pierced ears, nose, lips, and other places, and they don't know the Lord. That's where you're going to go. Oh, where's that place? Oh, that's down at the mall. Have you checked that out lately? Yeah, that's true, you know. So those are the kind of people you're going to have to associate with, and you're going to have to witness to them. So we'll be praying for you. Good luck with it. All right. See you later. Bye. Hey, number four, how you doing today? Oh, you've got some personal problems. Yeah, even though you're an ambassador, that happens, you know. Our records, though, indicate that you've been missing the ambassador meetings lately. Did you know that when you're having problems, the best thing you can do is to be more faithful to the meetings that we have? The other ambassadors can encourage you in the things of the Lord. Yeah, you need to be there. Our records indicate you've been missing quite a few, in fact. We've even noticed something else. You've been missing the Lord's Supper. Well, that's very important. That's something all Christians should be doing. And if you're not there partaking of the Lord's Supper, you need to get something right because you need to do that. By the way, we're not getting any reports from you. Oh, of course you're supposed to report. It does say to pray without ceasing. You're supposed to tell us what you're doing. You're supposed to say, I've got this problem. Pray without ceasing. Hourly reports even. By the way, the line is always open. Despite however many millions of people might be calling, the line is open. You're the one that's got to pick up the phone and make the call. And we urge you to do that. Oh, and when you wake up in the middle of the night with your problem, think of a good verse out of the manual. A lot of times that'll help you get back to sleep. All right, we'll see you later, number four. Bye. Number five. Good afternoon. How you doing? You're in a little bit different time zone than we're in, but that's okay. we've got some problems here, though. You say you're praying because people have asked you about it. Have you prayed for such and such a thing? But there's a problem there because in the manual, if you look in Isaiah 59, 2, it says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So guess what? You need to be asking what sins you're doing and get rid of those sins so God will listen to your prayer. Just because you're saying them doesn't mean he's hearing, and he's definitely not going to answer. You need to fix the phone at your end. That's not my problem. That's your problem. So listen up carefully. The Lord's trying to tell you something, but you got some sin that's keeping you from getting your answers. Okay, number five, we'll see you later. Hey, good evening, number six. How you doing? We noticed you failed to attend ambassador meetings. That seems to be a problem. Haven't figured out why, because the Bible does say, the manual does say that we should meet the more as the day approaches. And for sure, we're 2,000 years closer to the return of the Lord than in the olden days. And we need to even assemble more than just a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night. And so you need to be there. By the way, there is another thing in the book that's good for you. You need to be a member of a good church. You know, most of the New Testament was written to church, and people are supposed to read the manual. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says something. It's reported commonly there's fornication among such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have judged already, and as though I were present concerning him that so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Did you read that? Evidently, as long as he's a member of the church, Satan can't really touch him, but you put him outside the church membership, and Satan has access to killing him even. Oh, you didn't know that before. Well, that's something to keep in mind, because if you're not a member of the church, you can come under direct attack with Satan. You need to identify who you're with. Identify what you believe. Oh, before I hang up, God loves you. But sometimes your choices could lead you in the wrong direction. So be careful. Okay. We'll see you, number six. Hey, good day, number seven. How you doing? I'm an ambassador too, just like you. I've got a memo, though, to call you. Evidently, you've been talking about another ambassador. Yeah, that's true. That's the one. What, you think he should be canceled? Is that what you're saying? Oh, that bad, huh? Guess what? You better be careful, too. Because the Bible does say, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. The Bible does say, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. So even if he's in the wrong, got to be careful. Yeah. All of us are human, you know, all of us ambassadors, so be careful. Yeah. Be careful what you say. All right. We'll see you later, number seven. Number eight. Good morning. How you doing? You say you've got some people that want to come to the King's country. Great. What are their names? How did you meet them? What work, or were they at work, or some relatives of yours? Are they somebody that you're around very much? Good. And you've been able to talk to them and lead them to the idea of coming to heaven. Okay. Well, good. Keep on keeping on. We'll see you later. Okay. Amen. I don't know. You ever think of getting it personal like that? If God could call you on the phone and say, what are you doing for me as an ambassador for Christ? I have a question. kind of open type question to think about. If I were an ambassador for America, what would I need to know? I would need to know who's the president and who some of the politicians are. I would need to know some of the history of my country. And I should probably know some of the places that people would want to visit. And I should know some of the events that have occurred in the history of my country. And as a Christian, guess what? We should know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we also should know some of the apostles and prophets that were of times of old. We should know some of the events that they did. And we should know what's in heaven that would attract people there. I can remember a guy telling me one time, point blank, he did not care. He was going to go to hell with his friends and be there. I'm sorry that he would even think such a thing, that that was a good idea. But we have something so much better to offer. And we need to be recognizing the fact that they're going to hear about a better place, that these kind of sins will not go on, that this thing will not be like it is. We're the ones that's going to tell them. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors. And if Christ was in our shoes, what would he do? He would talk to this person about the Lord. I want you to look at those first two words in that verse. Now, then. As I understand English, those two words means now. You don't have to say, well, I have to go through training. I don't have to wait till next week. But somehow God is right now making me an ambassador for Christ. And if that's the case, what kind of ambassador am I? But those words, now then, are present tense, ongoing. You don't have to have all the training. You don't have to have all the background. All you have to do is have the opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. And I urge you to do so. We need people to come here that don't know the Lord. We need people to hear the gospel. We need people to be saved. And who else is going to do it but the one that looks in the mirror? It isn't just the pastor that can do that kind of a thing. He does that kind of a thing, but he's not the only one that should be doing it. It is something that all of us should be involved in. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. It's not something you put off and do later. You are. And sometimes that might have to say, I'm not a good representative. Well, time to get things right. And say, I want to be a good ambassador. I want to be a good example of Jesus Christ. Now then, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Who's going to tell the world they need to be reconciled to God but us? We're the ones that God has given that job to. And I would urge each and every one of us to be conscious of the fact that where we go to restaurants, where we go to stores, when we meet relatives or friends, we are ambassadors for Christ. And we ought to talk about the Lord. I don't know about you, but I get around situations, I purposefully want to bring up the Lord. I purposely want to change the subject. And that's a good idea. All of us need to do that. To say, I want to be focused on what Jesus Christ can do for me. So we're here tonight. And as I look, all that I think would claim to be Christians, what kind of an ambassador are you? Good ambassador or one that's just about ready to be recalled? Because sometimes it does carry some serious penalties if we don't do the job we've been called to do. Because the Bible does say things about that. Now then, but we are ambassadors already. And so I would hope that each and every one of you would remember this Bible verse, if nothing else. Like I said, I learned this as a kid and I've never forgotten it. Through all that I've gone through, now then, still sticks. We are ambassadors for Christ. Word's not used very often in the Bible, but it's an important word. We represent a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. Lord, help us to realize that we are ambassadors for Christ. We have an open line to the Lord Himself, just like a phone call. And Lord, we can take him our prayers. We can take him names of people that need to be saved. We can talk about our problems. We can talk about opportunities to witness. Lord, help us to be what we ought to be for you. Lord, help us to realize that people are watching us because they know that we are those ambassadors. We are those who represent Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us with people getting saved, with people hearing the gospel, with us as ambassadors inviting people to come to our country to meet our King. And Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to be here tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.